Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law. You watch me cover on television all the time, and we get into the world of theater and arts and comedy. And today we get to do a special interview, mainly because it is about comedy, but it might involve me a little bit, and that might mean it injects politics. So let's see what's going on. My guest, that makes sense of this, my guest is known as Gatsby, although his name is Gabriel, and he joins me now because we got a special show coming up. I'll go with Gatsby because why not? This is promoting the show. Gatsby, how are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I was going through your Wikipedia and I saw that you have an Emmy. I'm like, oh, I'm being interviewed by an Emmy winner. And
well, there's six of them, cool. But we're not counting the six of them. let me talk about your journey. Most people know my journey, but your journey has been really interesting. First of all, we should say that what we're going to be talking about is an event coming up on November 16th at 7 p.m. at the Venus Cabaret. I'm going to have you in a moment tell me about that. It does involve me, so I'll want our viewers and listeners to know about that so they can come out and see both of us, mainly you. But I found your journey really interesting because – born, raised in Nigeria, but then the calling to South Africa came to you, and yet we have you here in Chicago.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for agreeing to be on our show. It means so much to me. Because I was looking through who can I book for the next show during the election and post election. I was I have to book one of the most brilliant minds in politics and all that in Chicago and America. I'm like. And when you said yes, I was like, wow, this is a dream come true. So thank you for that. The show is on the 16th of November. It's going to be a really fun show. It's a late night show. It's the first late night show in Chicago. We have a music band that's going to be performing. They're going to be opening for me. I'm going to do a 15, 20 minute set. Then I'm going to bring on some comics and I'm going to do an interview with you. We're going to talk to the people of Chicago about whatever happens, how they're feeling right now.
So we're going to bring the comedic temperature of that show right down into the dumps, apparently.
We're still trying to figure it out, but I think we'll do it in a way where I just feel like the people of Chicago, especially America, would want to know about how they are supposed to feel, how they are going to feel, regardless of what's going to happen after the election, regardless of the result.
So it sounds like the evening itself is really, it's sort of a talk show format, various comedians, but it's a talk show for the MC for the evening.
I am the host. I'm going to be hosting the show. I host the show. And I do have some producers on the team on the show as well that help me make things much easier. And so I also so you were talking about my journey earlier, how I got to America. A very interesting story. So when I was 18 years old, I just had this feeling that there's something out there waiting for me. I didn't even know what it was. I just packed my backpack, had one shoe and two clothes and a Bible in it. I was super religious back then. And I just flew to South Africa. I didn't tell my dad, my mom, nobody knew. The only person that knew was my brother. He lives in Europe right now. And I was just I just called him out here, but I'm not going to South Africa. And he was like, why? I'm like, I just feel like there's something out there waiting for me. I moved to South Africa. And when I got there, I called my dad. And I was like, oh, dad, I'm at Robben Island. And he was like, what are you doing in prison? I'm like, no, I'm not in prison. I'm just visiting Robben Island where Nelson Mandela was in.
I've been. Yeah, fantastic.
For 27 years. He was like, so what's going on? I'm like, I just feel like there's something out there waiting for me. And he just started crying. He was like, why would you do this to us? Am I not taking care of you? I'm like, no, I don't know. I have a feeling about it. Fast forward.
I have to, before we move on from that, I just have to show you this, Gatsby. This is a rock.
Okay.
That I took from Robben's Island in the very area where Nelson Mandela used to do his writing. I was there as well. And I was so moved by it that I said, I need to have a reminder of where he did his writing. And he had to sort of hide the book there and all of that. I showed this to his daughter. I interviewed his daughter one day.
Wow.
So I'm just sharing that with you. But back to your story.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I've been to Robben Island. Like most people that have never been there, they wouldn't understand how much cruelty that he went through. Because like I went to the Robben Island during the winter and it was really cold. And I went to like, you know, they don't allow you to go through his prison cell or his jail cell. So they just let you like get a glimpse because it's locked. So, and I saw how cold it was. And when you read like the Long Walk to Freedom book, he talked about how he slept on a mat. And they didn't have cold shower for like up to 15 years. So they were showering cold water during the winter on an island. They didn't have proper food. They didn't have jackets. They didn't have like duvet. They didn't have anything. So it was like really interesting going there just to know like, wow, this man really like paid the price for like freedom. And, you know, so like back to my story. So like fast forward, I was in South Africa, and I got an opportunity to write for a late night show for this guy named Gary Cliff. It's like the guy's like a talker cow singer of South Africa. He's like one of those conspiracy theorist people, and I didn't know at the time. Like you know, I was just trying to make ends meet. So I was writing for his late night show. I was writing jokes for him. And I was doing stand up. I opened for Trevor Noah. Like, you know, he was like, this was way before he had the Daily Show gig. When he got the Daily Show gig, everybody was like, Trevor Noah,
He's
same
great.
guy from Open Mic. Like, you know, it
Right.
was like really surprising to everybody. So, like, you know, I used to open for him and all that. And so I had such a good time. And 3 years ago, I had an opportunity to come to like Second City to take creative writing classes, and that's how I moved to Chicago. And it's just unbelievable when you think about that journey, like from taking a leap of faith to like somehow ending up in Chicago, producing six shows right now in the state. I currently produce a show in L.A. At the Comedy Chateau Comedy Club in North Hollywood. I currently produce a show at Second City right now. I also produce a show at the Venus Cabaret Theater. I also produce a show at the Davenport Cabaret Theater. I have upcoming shows at all those places and Stand Up New York in New York, downtown New York. And I also produce a show at Cross Praise Theater in Michigan Avenue. So like just thinking about that, you know, journey. And I'm saying all of this like, you know, to inspire people. Like, you know, sometimes I don't know, you might have an idea right now, maybe you want to develop an app, or you want to start a book. Sometimes you just don't have to wait for things to fall in place. Just take a leap of faith. So I feel like that's why I'm sharing my story. Like, oh, maybe there's somebody out there like watching this. Like, oh, I'm scared of doing something. Just go for it. Go for it. Like, there's no such thing as failure. That's what I've learned. If you make a mistake, you're supposed to make that mistake.
And maybe things happen, you know, when you think about it, because coming from your last stage of South Africa, then coming to America, and you know, I think you were in Johannesburg, in Joburg there, right?
Yeah, I
But
lived in Johannesburg for a while. Yeah.
also an amazing place. And but anyway, coming here, one would say, oh, you have to go to New York, you have to go to LA, and I get that. But it
Yeah.
sounds like that while you recognize that as well, you actually realize, wait a minute, Chicago, so many of the greats, Stephen Colbert, Stephen Carell, I mean, we can go on. This is their home. This is where they began their careers.
Yeah. You're very right because I'm so glad you brought that up because right now I produce a show at the Second City at a place called as a theater at Second City called the Mad Studio Theater. So it's like a really iconic theater. Stephen Colbert produces a show there. Steve Carell produces a show there. Key, what's he called? Key and Peele, the guy Key and Peele,
You
he
feel, yeah.
produces a show there. So when you walk through the hallway, you see their production, their billboards and all that. And when I walk through that wall, I just feel like, wow, I can't believe this is great. They made all of this production here, yeah, and I'm doing mine now. So it's really inspiring. It just like it blows my mind. Like if
That,
you
by the way,
choose,
that is people will put it on, but December 7th is when that is at the DeMatt Studio,
yeah.
over at Second City. So you got all these things happening all over the place. Do we see the same thing? Like, because we want to talk about the Venus Cabaret because that's what we want people to come see initially. Then
Yeah.
they'll go see you at Second City at the DeMatt Studio. But
Yeah.
are you doing the same kind of thing everywhere, or is it all different? I know at Venus you've got Stephen Haas, Michie Hall, Adam Burke. You got all these zanies comedians coming in along with the music, and it's
Yeah.
quite the variety show.
Yeah, it is. So the Venus Cabaret was I produced that. I started producing the show last year, November, which is an idea. I was like, I want people to go to a place where they can go to on a Saturday night in Chicago, we'd just be like, oh, I want to go to the Great Gatsby show and I want to have a good time. You know how you go to an Apple store and you're like, oh, take my money. You guys have really good stuff here.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I want people to come to my show and have that feeling. I think I pride myself in making sure that I book people from like really top-notch places like HBO. I've got comedians from HBO, from Comedy Central, like, you know, from The Late Show with Colbert, from like the Comedy Cellar on my show, and like booking the greats like you. Like, you know, that's one of the reasons I started this show. Somewhere people can go and like, oh, we want to have a good time. So the show, we have like a music band played that will start the show. So they play for like 20, 25 minutes, a really intimate venue, the play. And then I come on and do my set, do some crowd walk, talk to people, interact. And we have like, when we started the show, we only had like one sponsor, but now we have like five sponsors. And most of our sponsors, they give us like money and cash and gifts.
You have giveaways during the evening too, right? For people who come?
Yeah, we also have giveaway. Like the last show we had, we gave away about $400 in vouchers. And yeah, we just pick people randomly. We had this game segment where Alexa, I just introduced that to the old show, where Alexa reads our mind, and whoever like Alexa reads his mind or her mind first, you know, give out like a prize. So that was really fun. So having you on the show would really make the show even go to like a spectacular place, like a really wonderful place, like, you know, an Emmy winner on our show coming to talk to the people of Chicago about, you know, oh, I mean, I don't want to talk about who's going to win or who's not going to win, but yeah. I'm hoping I try not to talk about politics in a certain way, because sometimes you can lose your audience in when you like, you know,
well, there's no. And what I'll tell you, what I do is very dangerous, because of course I have to be careful. Here's what good news about picking me is that my job is an analyst. So you won't have me taking positions when I'm talking with you. The good news is I get comedy. I'll do my best to make it as humorous as I can with you as you walk through. I know you had Cam Buckner at one of your last shows. My friend Cam. So, you know, you'll bring in these politicians and stuff, but clearly you want your audiences to know, yes, there's the comedy and all that. But look, even much of the comedy, it's going to tap into issues of today. That's politics. And there will be nothing more on our minds at that time on November 16th than politics. We'll have just come off the election.
Yeah. I just feel like I can't think of any other person that's the right person to, like, you know, take on this job, like, you know, make us feel some sort of peace. Like, feel good about whatever happens.
Well, just bring a lot more vouchers with you. You're going to want to hand out a lot of vouchers that night. Might be what you need to do.
Yeah, like, you know, I just hope things go right on election night. But no matter what happens, at least we would have you.
Right. On the 16th. Well, by the way, I'll give one voucher for everybody, because I know I love going to Coal Fire whenever I go to the Venus Cabaret. They have great pizza. And they
awesome.
People, yeah, there's a little deal for people to do that.
Yeah, there's a deal for people to do that. Thank you for bringing that up. You're a genius. So if you come to our show and buy a ticket, you get like 10% off for like pizzas. And if you come to the show, you also have a chance to win a $100 voucher for like buy foods and drinks at Coal Fire Pizza. That's that's one of the advantages of like coming to like our show. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I right? You also have a deal at Nigerian Kitchen?
Oh, Nigerian Kitchen. Thank you for bringing that up, too. I don't know why.
I've done my homework, Gatsby.
So the Nigerian Kitchen also sponsor our show. So Nigerian Kitchen, like, is one of the best kitchen in Chicago. I know I'm being biased because I'm Nigerian, but they have the best spicy food in Chicago. If you like spicy food, if you like vegetarian food, you buy a ticket to our show, you get 30% off whatever food you buy from their kitchen. So it's like a wonderful place. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
You're smart to work those dynamics as well, because it gives you're introducing people. So I have to ask you, you do stand up, you've done writing. I know you may have a book in your future, but you're also hosting this.
Yeah.
Who is Gatsby? Is Gatsby going to one day be the next Stephen Colbert, or is Gatsby going to be the next, you know, host of Comedy Central? What's the Gatsby dream?
The Gatsby dream. Honestly, I don't know. That's a question I wasn't expecting, but that's a really good question. Well, I do hope one day that, you know, I think one of the reasons I started doing this was because I think there was this like comedy club here in Chicago. I'm not even going to name it, but they have a late night show, and they have like different hosts, and, you know, for the show, they've had different people of different ethnicity, and, I'd never seen somebody that looked like me on their platform. And I'm like, we can't even, I'm like, even as a black person, you can't even get, can't even host a late night show from a comedy club in Chicago. Like, you know, when it was like the Stephen Colbert, the late night show, you see the Stephen Colbert, you see Seth Meyers, you see the last person
Jimmy
that was
Fallon,
was,
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, the last person that was black that was hosting the show was Arsenio Hall. So you don't see people like us on the show. Like, you know, that's why I'm kind of like happy for Roy Wood Jr. That's he has a show now on CNN.
CNN, yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not going to wait for anybody to give me an opportunity. I'm going to create it myself. So, like, with regards to, like, you know, what I see in my future, I don't know. I think I want to be able to, like, inspire people. I don't know how that's going to happen. I want to inspire people. I want people to, like, you know, it doesn't even matter whether you're a comedian or not. Like, you know, just like, oh, listen to my story. Like, oh, I can do this if this guy can do it. Like, you know.
So will your set, when you do 15 minutes, is it going to be, will we hear about current events? Will we hear about your life growing up in Nigeria and move to South Africa? What do we get in Gatsby's 15 minutes?
Oh, so what you get is that I talk about everything. And like, if you look at my wall right now, it's like, I have like a whole wall of like, just like beats and ideas on the wall.
Well, I see kids behind you, so I imagine that's important to you too.
That's my wife and her cousin. So I talk about, I would like to consider myself as a joke writing machine. I've written so much. So the people that inspire me are like people like Bill Maher and Chris Rock. You know, I like Dave as well, Dave Chappelle. Tom Segura is really good. And I like, what's it called? Sarah Silverman. She's really good as well. But the people that really inspire me, I would say Chris Rock and Bill Maher. And those are the people I like, you know, because they are very versatile. They can talk about any subject. So when you come to my set, I talk about coming to America. Obviously, people want to hear my perspective about what do I see? What are they missing? Talk about that. But what I really enjoy talking about is... topical beers, talk about like politics and all that. Those are the jokes that really, you know, have longer beats about like Trump, about Biden, about Kamala, about
they're election. All funny people.
Yeah. So I have like longer beats about that. But I also have like, I should do like any, I talk about anything. I should talk about observationer, comedy. Like, you know, I talk about, you know, tipping in America.
So it's going to be a variety of stuff. Of course, I have to ask you, the name you use, Great Gatsby, you are Gabriel, but you use the Great Gatsby. And when I first came across you, the Great Gatsby, you know what I thought of, right? I'm like, oh, we're going to Broadway. Can you, what is the genesis of the name Gatsby?
So when I moved to South Africa when I was 18, so I wanted to do like stand up for the first time. So at the time, this movie just came out, The Great Gatsby, featuring Leo DiCaprio. So I called a comedy club in Johannesburg, this casino in Johannesburg. And I was like, oh, I want to jump on your comedy show. Can I sign up for like an open mic or whatever? And they were like, yeah. What's your stage name? At the time, I didn't have a stage name in mind. So I was like, oh, Gatsby.
So it's a
like,
great one.
Gatsby. And like, they were like, yeah, sure. So when I moved there, actually, I tried to change my name from Gatsby to Gabriel Day. But one a guy that produces a show here in Chicago, I think he produces a show at the, I think it's called The House of Blues or something. And he was like, I love your stand-up. I love your show. If I were you, I'll keep the name. Don't change it. I was like, really? You're like, yeah, don't change it. You'd be stupid to change it. So that's how I kept it.
I think it makes sense. By the way, I'm going to age myself, but when you said when the movie Great Gatsby first came out, I hate to tell you this, but my mind went to 1974 with the original movie, which was with Robert Redford. Very different than the Leo version. But now the musical on Broadway is also very good. You should go there and let them know you're around.
Yeah. I haven't seen the musical. I haven't seen the one with Robert Redford. I've seen him in this movie called, what's it called? Indecent Proposal. I think that's the only
Indecent
thing
Proposal, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah, that was a really good movie.
So this is your home. Is the plan, do we stay in Chicago and make things happen? It sounds like you have your fingers in some pies in L.A. and you plan to have this as your base, but you will be making shows happen around the country?
Yeah, right now I'm like just by coastal in a way. Like, so I try to like, you know, produce shows everywhere and just to like, because right now I honestly, I love Chicago, but you know, I'm trying to also like create, I think the other reason, right now I have three shows here in Chicago, but the reason I started doing those shows is what Chicago lack right now is an industry. We have so much talent in this, like, in this city. Like, you could book like 10 different great comics every week and people are going to have a good time. But we don't have an industry like LA or New York City. There aren't that many shows like mine right now. So the other reason I started producing this show is like, I'm hoping that if I create these, maybe somebody else will be like, whoa, if this guy from Nigeria that came here 3 years ago can do this, I can do it too. Like, you know, just to inspire people to. So hopefully we have like maybe 50 or 70 of these kind of shows. Then that way we have an industry where, like, you know, we're serving more people and hopefully it, like, transition to like people making movies here, people making series and all that. You know, instead
that's
of
what
like
I sense. I sense the entrepreneur in you. I'm sensing the sort of this business person. Now, I know you're married, whatever. I'm sort of curious. Did you meet your wife here or elsewhere? I'm sort of wondering how, you know, I'm back to the Chicago fix. Did you meet her here and that keeps you here, or how did that happen?
Well, we met here. It was like very meet cute kind of way. If meet cute involves meeting somebody on an app, but we met on an app. And yeah, she's amazing. She's like the, I feel like as a human being or as a person, if you actually want to get married, you should just marry somebody that would really be patient with you. And she's like really patient with me. She's like extremely, extremely kind and very loving. That's also very important. You need somebody that would be kind and very loving, somebody with so much empathy.
I get the sense what makes a good comedian is, you know, because you talk about the famous people, the Colberts and all of that. There's also a comedian. He's from Ethiopia. His name is Learn More. If you've seen him, we've had him on our morning show. He just was a finalist in America's Got Talent.
He's from Zimbabwe. I know the guy. Like, I didn't even know he was living here because we used to, like, you know, talk, like, we were like colleagues back in South Africa as well. Like, he wasn't even like famous. He wasn't that famous back then. Then I was like, so the first time I saw his post on IG, I'm like, is it the same guy? Maybe somebody else. Then I saw him on your show as well. I'm like, wow, he's on your show. Like, so I was like, hey man, what's up? So yeah, so he's like, yeah, he's really funny. Yeah, he's always been funny, like, you know, from way back then. But we just like I like that a lot of South Africans are coming in and doing well. Me, Lemon, Trevor Noah, like, you know, like, so that's like, it just kind of tells you how diverse South Africa is and how much talent is also like in South Africa. There are like so many good comics in South Africa because it's like a really diverse. I know you've been there. It's like you can see Asian people there, white people, black people, and all sort of people there. So it's like that was what made my journey here easier because, like, you know, I was used to performing to a diverse audience already.
Oh yeah, and I went from Johannesburg to Cape Town and everywhere in between. It's just an amazing, amazing country, and we'll talk
about
that. Did
you go to Robben Island?
That's why I have my rock.
Oh, sorry. I meant Table Mountain. Sorry. Table Mountain.
Oh, yes. Yes. And we stayed at the Captain Cook Hotel, which is such a beautiful place. But we'll reminisce when we get there, when I see you there. I also want to just, you know, we don't have a ton of time, but I know there's somebody important who was important in your life, and he's very motivational for you. He was a friend of yours who passed away. And I only bring him up because I know you talk about him a lot, and he seems to be very important to the work you do. And I know you're in touch with his family since then. I just thought I'd give you a moment to do a mention.
Oh, thank you. Wow, you're great. So his name is Chinedu, and Chinedu is one of my, like, if whoever he is right now, if he's in heaven, he'll be so proud of me. Like, you know, he was like my, so growing up, I spent the first 12 years of my life with my grandmother and my dad's stepsister because I was really sick a lot growing up. I think I couldn't even talk for like a long period of time. And so because of that, my parents couldn't, like, you know, move around with me. They moved from like a place in Nigeria called Ondo State, and they moved to Lagos, which is like the New York of Lagos State. And my dad was a banker, so he had to move there, and he moved with my siblings, but I was like left behind. So I didn't spend like the first 12 years of my life with them. So I only spent like the only 6 years of my life with my parents and my siblings. So that means I've only spent 90% of my life by myself and my friends. Like, I've only spent 10% of my life with my siblings and my dad and my mom. So he came along in my life when, like, I didn't have like a lot of support. Like, my dad was always busy with work. So he was like a father figure, even though I actually don't know how old he is, but a lot of people think he's younger than I am. But he was really mature, very intelligent. He read, he knew everything about everything. He read a lot. He was one of the people that inspired me to read a lot. I think this year my goal was to read up 24 books. I completed the goal yesterday. And so he encouraged me a lot to read a lot. He was very tall. Very.
I'll bring you one of the books I've written so we can make sure we increase that number to 25.
I love to read your book. He was very handsome, very good, very charming. He was the kind of person that could go to China and still like make friends, even though he doesn't speak Mandarin. He was that charming. He was the kid that everybody knew was going to become somebody. And while I was in South Africa, he died tragically. And that really shook me. And I was like, man, because we used to talk a lot about, like, we have all this dream we share with each other. Like, oh, we'll go to, like, 10 World Cups in this lifetime, go to the Oscars, whatever. He wanted to be a senator. And when he died, I'm like, I don't have time anymore. And, like, that could have been me. So he just really inspired me to, like, you know, just go after my dreams and just, like, have it at the back of my mind that, you know, life is really short and it can happen and you don't have to wait for things to fall in place. Like, you just go after your dreams. It's one of the reasons I just started doing more things for myself. Like,
so, you know, as you look back, I'm sort of curious, is the Gabriel who grew up in Nigeria and went to South Africa, if you, would that Gabriel know you would be where you are today, or would that Gabriel be surprised?
Like, no, he wouldn't even believe it at all. He would like, no, if you showed me everything I've accomplished, like right now, where I've been, talking to an Emmy winner, and you showed me the video, like, even 4 years ago, I'll tell you, you're out of your mind. Like, it's not possible. Like, it's somebody else. Like, you know, it's just insane. Just tells you, like, sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith. Like, things will take care of itself somehow, some way. Like, you know, so, like, you know, I can't picture myself being talking to you or things, having the show at Second City, hosting the show, talking to people, having like selling tickets and at these other places, and you know, talking to people early, having a show in LA, New York, even flying. Like, no, I would have thought it was impossible to.
Well, it's not impossible. You've done it. And the good news is that pretty soon on November 16th, you'll be interviewing me.
That'll be one of the greatest moments of my life. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll do that. And maybe if I remember, I have a signed copy of The Long Road. I have a signed copy of Mandela's book. I'll bring it and show it to you for the inspiration that it deprived me and provides you. But on that night, November 16th, the show starts at 7. How late does the show? You mentioned late night. 7 doesn't seem like late night to me, but you have so many comedians lined up in the music that how late does the night go?
Oh, we only have 4 comedians now. In the past, we used to have 9 comedians.
Oh, okay.
So I changed it because I'm like, okay, this is too long. Like, you know, I want people to have a good time too. So I changed the format.
There's a bar, so that helps.
So that helps. I'm like, this is not working. I don't like this. I remove certain things and I talk to like the people I'm working with, like my team. Like, what do you think about this idea? Is this working? They're like, oh, it's not working. Let's remove it. So I remove some things that aren't working. So right now we're keeping it really short and really tight. It's going to be 4 comics and 1 musician performing and just me interviewing you. That's it. So it's going to be really quick and short. And usually we have an after party afterward at Celeste. I don't know if you know about Celeste. It's a nightclub downtown in River North. It's a really nice nightclub.
So everyone's invited to go down there?
Yeah, if you come to the show, buy a ticket, you're invited to come to the after party. Yeah.
Oh, didn't even know about that. Give everybody your website because I can tell them they can get tickets at mercurytheaterschicago.com. We'll put that on the page of the website. But they might want to know more about you as well and where they can catch your Second City show on December 2nd. What is Gatsby's website?
All right. So you can catch our upcoming shows at the Davenport Cabaret Theater. You can find tickets to the show when you go to Dice and just search The Great Gatsby Show. And if you go to the Venice Cabaret Theater website, go to www.venicecabarettheater and search The Great Gatsby Show. I have shows there too. The show at the Davenport Cabaret, I have shows on the 2nd of November, the 30th of November, and the 28th of December. The Second City shows, I have shows on the 7th of December, the 14th of December, the 21st of December, and the 20th of December. 7:30 p.m. shows, and you can go to secondcity.com.
We'll check out. Now, by the way, if we go to your, I've been to your website, but I didn't think about this. Could I Can we sign up on your website so we get emails for what's coming up?
I don't the what website is that? The Venus Cabaret Theater
no,
show?
No. Your if we go to your website, we're checking you out or something. We want to check you out. Whether there's a website we can kind of get your email. Well, I'll just throw that out to you as an idea. Think about
You can find me on Instagram. Is that Great Gatsby Show? That's THA Great Gatsby Show. THA, not THE. THA Great Gatsby Show. You can contact me and see all of our shows on the Instagram and do. And yeah, that's the best way to like know about upcoming shows and everything about me. Like I'll definitely upload these on our Instagram and like tag you and tell people how to like come to the shows as well.
Perfect. Well, your show that I get to appear on is November 16th at the Venus Cabaret again. Yeah. One website I will give people, because I interview a lot of people who appear at Venus. So mercurytheaterschicago.com is also a place that will take you for tickets, which is great. Tickets aren't that expensive either, by the way.
Yeah, they're just $25 and you get to enjoy an Emmy winner, just in your
They have enough of me, I'm sure, in their home, but they're going to have a lot of fun comedians and
music.
In the back, and 10% off at Cold Fire, lots of stuff going.
A lot of stuff, 10% off pizza, so you can come early, have pizza 10% off. You can go to the Nigerian Kitchen and have food, come to the show, and the drinks there are very affordable as well.
And Gabriel, thank you for giving us a chance to get to know you a little bit, because there's a lot to you. And it's just, you know, sometimes you see a comedian, they do their act, that's all you know. But I know your background has a lot more to it. And so thank you for sharing it here when we come see you, we have that sort of extra depth level getting to watch. I know I'm looking forward to watching your set as well and spending some time with you on set.
Thank you so much for having me. This is like a dream come true. Like you said earlier, if somebody asked me 10 years ago about the new Gatsby, would he believe all the things I've achieved? I'm like, no, but this is like it's one of dream come true moments. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
That's very kind of you to say. And I look forward to seeing you November 16th. So our viewers and listeners, we remind them, November 16th starts at 7. Comedians, we'll chat politics a little bit in a fun way, I promise you. And also some the pizza next door and drinks. A lot of fun. MercuryTheaterChicago.com. Thank you. You are the Great Gatsby. And I look forward to seeing you very soon. Thank you,
Gabriel. Thank you, sir. Cheers.
Cheers.